Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, the 28th of May. Coming up, there are calls for a water emergency in Kent as supply issues continue.
Things are already hot, things are already expensive, and now we don't know whether the water supply situation is going to come here. We know it's just affected Whitstable as well as Tankerton and Ashford and parts of Maidstone, and we're like, this is not good. So people are stressed and angry.
Figures reveal the number of young people being excluded from schools in Kent.
Out of all local authorities in England, Kent has ranked second in the list with 86,653 exclusions over the last 5 years, coming in behind Essex, which recorded 99,852.
And a dessert business in Maidstone is set to launch a new weekly pop-up stall.
We did that one birthday party, and then since that one birthday party, we've had bookings.
But first, this story is just breaking at the time of recording today's podcast. The body of a teenage boy has been found in Swanscombe following concerns about a swimmer in a pond. Well, Lucy joins me on the episode. Lucy, what do we know so far?
Police, paramedics and fire crews were called to water near Galley Hill Road at around 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Scuba divers were also seen heading to the scene, and it's now been confirmed the body of a teenager was recovered. Officers say his death is not being treated as suspicious. Across the UK, a total of 8 children have died in drownings during the recent hot weather. Experts have been warning of the dangers of cold water shock and of swimming in unsupervised areas.
Incredibly sad news, Lucy. Thank you ever so much.
Kent Online reports.
TikTok influencers have denied fueling trouble on a Kent beach over the bank holiday weekend, which led to a number of arrests and people being moved on by police. As we told you in Tuesday's episode, 6 people were detained and more than 40 made to leave areas in Thanet after dispersal orders were put in place between Friday and Sunday. Well, videos shared on the social media site described a gathering at Viking Bay as Broadstairs' biggest beach link-up, with a comment suggesting another could take place. And that has led to concern from residents. Creator Marcus 14 shared this.
Broadstairs has to be the most craziest beach in the whole of Kent. Maybe not even in the whole of Kent, maybe in the whole of England. We shut it off. Me and Lanx shut it off. We absolutely shut it off. There was hundreds of people going mental for us down at the bottom with the football. If you haven't seen the video, go look at it. It's absolutely jokes. I've seen about 100 videos being posted, but it's so much carnage that goes on there. They even need police down there to sort everyone out, because there's obviously mischief that goes on down there, loads of crazy stuff. But yeah, who wants to see us do it again?
Fellow influencer Lanx later defended their actions.
Comment down below. Marcus did not come to disrespect Broadstairs. We actually came to enjoy ourselves. First of all, guys, to everyone in Broadstairs that was nice and welcomed us, I appreciate you, because you made our day and we made your day. But to all the low-life people that are saying, oh, we came to Broadstairs, we ruined it, me and Marcus did not even have a fight that day. I'm seeing stuff happening on social media of stuff that's happening in Southend Beach and all this. But listen, there's stabbings going on at beaches, you know. Guys, can we actually take time and praise Broadstairs? Because there was no stabbings that day. Yeah, a ball went in the air, but at least someone's child didn't get taken. So you Broadstairs trying to say, oh, stay where you guys belong. Listen, us Medway boys, we're like a pack of wolves, and you can't stop us from going anywhere.
Well, we got in touch with Marcus 14, who's actually a 19-year-old scaffolder, and he said that they were just joking around and it blew up, but it had nothing to do with them, adding, I visit places all over Kent and make videos about them, but I don't condone any of the bad stuff that went on. Well, police have told us that they are monitoring social channels for content that might encourage further disruption. East Thanet MP Polly Billington, meantime, has been in touch with us, praising the response of the police over the weekend, but she says even more needs to be done to ensure visitors are responsible and respectful. She's having talks with the council and police about possible further action.
Kent Online News.
Now, at the time of recording today's podcast, South East Water say around 18,000 customers across Kent are still being impacted by supply problems which started last Saturday. Residents in Whitstable, Herne Bay, Maidstone and Ashford are among those affected. Bosses are blaming high demand during the recent hot weather. But there's frustration that some parts of the county have ample supply, while in other areas the taps are running dry. I've been speaking to Brienne Carter, who's part of campaign group SOS Whitstable.
We just don't understand it. There's various areas that have got water, and Dover's got water. We haven't. They're on a different supply. So we don't understand that from the area geographically why we haven't got water and other places in the sort of the Kent area do have. So I don't know whether it's lack of investment from South East Water. There's no explanations. They have modelling for this kind of eventuality. They know that we've had hot weather was planned over the last couple of weeks. It's been in the Met Office. We know we're having this heat wave. So I don't understand how we've got that much of a shortage. They're saying that it's not the aquifers and they've got enough water. Why isn't it getting out to the public? Is it just lack of investment? They had meetings over a month ago that was highlighting all the issues that we had last year. It seems that they've learned nothing from last year's outages and that we're in the same situations. We've got elderly people, we've got cancer patients that aren't having any communication with South East Water at all. It's just appalling. It's really bad.
It seems to me it doesn't matter what weather situation is. If it's cold weather, we get burst pipes and that causes problems. Obviously, we saw that in West Kent at the start of the year. And if it's hot weather, we don't have enough.
The lack of investment has increased tenfold. The fact that we know we're going into a climate crisis. We know that the summers are getting hotter and longer. We're having less rain. They've just not put any infrastructure or money towards any of this. They've just literally taken money out for the shareholders.
South East Water have put on their website advice on how to conserve supplies. So we're being told not to use things like sprinklers and jet washes and hoses. I mean, would you say that was a bit little too late, really?
I mean, it's all sensible conserving water. But the fact is, they know what the usage is, that they will have the data behind it year on year to predict the levels. They're saying they've got enough water, they just can't get it out to the houses. What's the explanation for that? They can't treat the water quick enough. So that means they've got a lack of infrastructure and we're having more and more houses built that we can't cope with any of this.
Now, South East Water have told us tankers are being used 24/7 to top up supplies, and they're urging all of us to only use water for essential purposes. Nick Price is from the company and has provided this update.
Think of the water network like a motorway. When everyone uses it all at once, roads come to a standstill. So when a whole neighbourhood uses lots of water all at the same time, it pulls water out of the local system so fast that the pressure drops. This can result in those living at the far end of the network or on higher ground seeing their taps run completely dry. We have also had some leaks and bursts on the network. We understand this is extremely frustrating. While this is normal across our 9,000 miles of pipe, the network is working under high pressure at all times right now. Please be assured we are working hard to fix these as quickly as possible. This combination of high demand and normal levels of leaks and bursts has caused the intermittent supply issues this weekend. As the hot weather is set to last a few more days, we're asking for all customers to help. We're asking you to only use water for essential purposes. This means for drinking, washing, and cooking. Watering the garden, washing cars or patios, and filling paddling pools is not essential use. So what have we been doing? We don't take this situation lightly. Our teams have been working tirelessly to fix the leaks and bursts. We planned for the hot weather by putting extra water into the network. Our fleet of tankers has been working 24/7, putting additional water into the network in areas where demand has been extremely high. In some areas where there have been supply interruptions or where we believe issues may occur, we have proactively delivered bottled water to our vulnerable customers on our priority services register. And we are supporting critical care sites like hospitals and care homes where necessary.
But as the situation continues for yet another day, there are calls for a water emergency to be declared. Lucy's been chatting to Green Councillor Rob Yates.
So we've had 14,000 bottles of water delivered across our vulnerable residents and our reservoirs. We've only got one main one, Fleet, which is running low. So everyone's very nervous in Thanet.
What kind of impact does this have when you're kind of out and about speaking to residents? I mean, how concerning is this for them?
So it's already cost of living crisis, and now the level of precariousness the residents are suffering, it's like it just adds to the stress. Things are already hot, things are already expensive, and now we don't know whether the water supply situation is going to come here. We know it's just affected Whitstable as well as Tankerton and Ashford and parts of Maidstone, and we're like, this is not good. So people are stressed and angry.
And we're really at the start of summer at the moment, aren't we? I mean, I know we've had really hot weather, which is unusual for this time of year, but it doesn't bode well.
It's really like a bit scary, to be honest. Like you said, we're not in summer. We don't know when this will be resolved. It's not due to rain until, I'd check the weather forecast, like Monday. And yeah, like this is a huge emergency. And like this, the 35,000 people affected now, 18,000 properties, in a few days it could expand. Like, I don't see an easy solution to this, which is why we're calling for an emergency.
Yeah, tell me a bit about that and what exactly you're calling for.
Yeah, so on the solution side, we're saying Southeast Water and Southern Water need to come to a flood risk and water management meeting on the 10th of June because they're not currently on the agenda. We're also calling for an urgent scrutiny committee focusing on water resilience in Kent and whether it's fit for purpose. And we're bundling this up by saying we want it to be declared as a Kent water supply emergency. Interestingly, the Kent and Medway Resilience Forum only have the water infrastructure failure as a medium risk on their risk register. So we think this needs more attention.
Yeah, because of course it's not the first time we've had issues like this, particularly with South East Water. Tunbridge Wells residents suffered quite a lot of disruption before and after Christmas. It feels like it's on a sort of repeat almost.
Yeah, and don't forget Sheppey. Everyone sometimes forgets Sheppey when they had a water supply outage. I don't think it got as much publicity as Tunbridge Wells, but it's really shocking when you think that we're a developed country. I like to say that some people, you can understand that a privatised company like KFC might run out of chicken every now and again. It's not the end of the world, but we shouldn't have privatised companies running our water supply because we need that 100% of the time. It's not something that's optional. A week without water. Well, that affects hospitals, affects people cooking and cleaning, people with health conditions. I've had worried parents contact me today from Whitstable basically saying, we haven't been told an ETA about when this will be resolved. That's not good.
Well, Kent County Council have announced today they're going to be setting up a Kent Water Resilience Partnership, which will be chaired by leader Lyndon Kemp-Caron. It'll bring together water companies, local authorities, regulators and key partners to focus on long-term planning, performance and public visibility. You can let us know if you've been affected by the current outages by leaving a comment on the story or messaging us via our socials.
Kent Online reports.
A man who was seriously injured in a crash on a road linking Canterbury and Sandwich has backed calls for safety improvements. Richard Dyer was left in a coma and spent 3 months in hospital following the collision on the A257. A campaign wants bosses to reduce the speed limit from 50 to 40 miles per hour with a solid double white line through shuttling to prevent overtaking. A restaurant run by students at a Kent school is due to close. Carter's at Towers in Ashford is staffed by young people studying for catering qualifications and overseen by a professional head chef. Bosses say the decision has been made due to a drop in pupil numbers on the course. The site will be used as additional student and teacher space. Residents who've been forced to leave their homes in a block of flats in Maidstone have mistakenly been told they can return for a second time. A prohibition notice has been issued for Miller Heights on Lower Stone Street after a flood in the basement affected the electrics. Well, an email over the weekend from housing agent Centric said the notice had been lifted. They've confirmed it was sent in error and have apologised. Now, next, figures seen by the Kent Online podcast show Kent has the second highest number of school exclusions in the country for forms of abuse. Reporter Alex Langridge has been looking more closely at the data and joins me on the podcast now. Alex, what does it show?
So the data from the DfE shows there's been a rise in exclusions linked to racist, homophobic, transphobic and disablest abuse. The figures break down the number of permanent exclusions and suspensions recorded at state-run schools between autumn of 2020 and spring of 2025. Because schools can record up to three reasons for each suspension, the figures don't obviously represent individual incidents, but show how different forms of abuse are cited. The statistics show that there's been a 68% rise in mentions of abuse over these protected characteristics between spring 2022 and spring 2025. The data also highlighted that racist abuse was the leading cause of exclusion. Nationally, these exclusions and suspensions rose by 80%, with most listing this as a reason for the action taken.
And even though there's 5 years of data, they're not including the first year.
The figures from 2020 to 2021 can't be compared to the rest of the data set, as they were significantly impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. However, experts suggest that the rises that have been seen across these 5 years suggest that they're being driven by cuts to outreach services and divisive politics. However, some teachers and unions have suggested that they show a less tolerance of discrimination in schools and a more heightened awareness, which could be why that the numbers have increased.
And what's the Department for Education said?
The government has described the data as shocking and said that discrimination has no place in schools. A spokesman for the DfE said that every child deserves to learn in a safe and calm classroom, and that it's providing new and expert support to try and turn things around in hundreds of schools across the country with the biggest behaviour challenges. Things like that are including free breakfast clubs to get children more settled, improved teacher training and clearer guidance on the use of suspensions, while also taking steps to tackle poor behaviour at the source and make sure that teachers have the clarity to act swiftly when they need to.
Alex, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online reports.
The owners of a restaurant in Aylesford that was badly damaged in a fire say repair work can finally start. The Hengist was forced to temporarily close after the blaze in March caused part of the ceiling to collapse. Insurance money has now come through and building work is due to begin in June. A company that runs six different holiday parks in Kent has been sold in a £700 million deal. Park Holidays UK operates 56 sites across the country, including in Whitstable, Laysdown and New Romney. It's been taken over by Airmont, with bosses promising a new phase of growth. More than 2 years after a landslip closed a road in Folkestone, work has finally started to stabilise the cliff. The Road of Remembrance has been shut ever since tonnes of soil and trees slid onto it. Engineers have been examining the local geology and now contractors are on site. We're told repairs should take around 44 weeks. Divers are carrying out surveys on the pier in Deal before urgent repairs are carried out. The local council has already approved £1 million budget for work to make sure the structure survives for decades to come. Storms have caused damage to six of the supporting concrete legs. And a dessert business from Maidstone is set to launch a new weekly pop-up stall at the Royal Star Arcade. Yearly Lux Treats, which specialises in mini pancakes and waffles, will begin trading every Saturday from the 6th of June. Owner Shalini Janu has been telling us more about the growth of the business.
We launched Yearly Lux Treats last year in October. We did a post on Facebook and we had one inquiry for a birthday party. We did that one birthday party, and then since that one birthday party, we've had bookings and people have referred us. We've had guests from previous party booking us. And since we've launched, we've actually had to design two more carts because people wanted us on the same day and we didn't want to let clients down. And we was like, what's happening? So obviously in the background, we did taste test all of our recipes to make sure we had one that was, you know, we was happy with. So we did a few parties and then that obviously grew. We've got a few bookings for weddings this year. We've even got weddings booked for next year, believe it or not, already free bookings. So it's taken a big hit, really. I mean, we couldn't even believe it. So my husband built the cart as well. So we thought, you know what, everyone's saying how they love our mini pancakes and how fluffy it is. And a few people where we've been to engagement parties, we've been to weddings, they've all said, so where's your shop? And I'm like, oh, there's no shop. We're just basically this stand and we just go around with mini pancakes at weddings. And then when we kept on doing events, we kept on hearing customers saying the same thing, and then I was like, well, should I try it? So then I was like, so let me give it a go for the artisan market in Royal Star Arcade. And we had a few people come up to us and had pancakes, and we obviously do cakes as well now. And we are looking to do iced lattes and matchas. So then I was like, well, how about I do like a pop-up stand just on a weekly basis, only on Saturdays, just to see how we get on. So then we thought, so then I contacted Royal Star Arcade and I just said, you know, we're thinking of doing this. Is there a possibility that we can just do Saturdays to see how we get on? And they were like, yes. So we was like, all right then. So we was like thinking of dates, because in between us prepping for this launch day, we still have weddings and we still have birthdays. So it is full on at the minute for us. But even if we can get the Saturday pop-up going, that will enable clients, like for weddings, for example, they can come and see us there and they can sample our mini pancakes as well. At the same time, so it'll be a good place for someone to just come and see us, sample our products, book us there and then as well.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and top scorer Dominic Samuel has signed a new deal to stay at Ebbsfleet. The 32-year-old scored 19 goals in all competitions last season. He joined the Fleet in 2023 after previously playing for Gillingham, Blackburn, Reading and Ross County. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And to watch from the website, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.